Hello there, and welcome to Pink Milk, where we serve Star Wars queerly. I am your host, Brian. Kicking me with me, as always, are my two much, much better co-hosts. That fanfic femme fatale writing queen that literally haven't been able to get it right for months, Emma.
You just got it right.
Oh, I did?
Femme fatale, yes.
It's the alcohol and the Ray to my Luke Skywalker, my friend and yours, Chase, who is so excited
muted.
To be here.
They're hi. Muted. Hello.
How are we? Y'all, I think at least two of us, I think, are serving some tea tonight. We're serving some tea and maybe a little shade. So get ready.
I do have my fan tonight. That's all I'm going to say. And I don't always have it these days, but I have it for tonight.
All right, my friends, let's drink up. Drink up. Hello, 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 Hope. Thank you to our moderating queen. Hello, Keith. Hello, Andy. It's been a second since we've seen you in here with us live, Andy. So hello, hello, Pink. Buck, we love you. You and Brandon are in our thoughts. So hopefully we can be a little bit of a somewhat of a distraction while you're going through not a good time. So we love you, my friend. And hopefully we can make you laugh a little. At least laugh a little. Hello, Liam.
Hi, Liam.
Ooh. You know what? I'm going to start with the two of you.
Why?
How's your week's been?
I think my goal is to listen as much as I can and talk as little as I can. But the week's been good, to answer your question. It's been fine. I'm trying to think of any major updates. I mean, not really. I'm just living my life. I did see a movie called Scanner Darkly from 2006. And I think it's by the same person who wrote Blade Runner, I think. It's based off the book by the same author. It's a trip of a movie, but it was great. And I was
Philip K. Dick.
Trip of a movie, yeah. Yes.
Totally wild. Yeah. Anyway.
There is also a series on Amazon Prime that is all Philip K. Dick stories. You should watch it. I forget what it's called. Someone in the steam room, hopefully you know what I'm speaking to, but it had Sookie Stackhouse is in one of them. Mm. I don't remember her name in real life. Do we like her?
I don't know who that is.
Have you ever seen
Anna Paquin?
There we go. Yeah, the youngest Oscar winner. Right?
Yes, from that's right.
The Piano.
Yes, she couldn't even get out her speech because she was so overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, well. Emma, how about you? How was your week, my friend? How was your week?
It was okay. It didn't start off so great. If you saw my Twitter, I had a dream that I worked with Oscar Isaac. And all of my coworkers told me that I wasn't allowed to talk to him because it wasn't pretty enough.
Oh, my God, Em.
Hey, Emma, tell your dream self to be kinder to yourself, please.
I don't control it.
Oh, my God. Oh, but, yeah, no.
there have been some bright spots. Like work has been pretty stressful, but I keep coming home and Silas has changed into his tiger costume. So it really cheers me up.
I love that.
I can only imagine. You know, speaking of dreams, I've had a lot of dreams lately that my husband isn't with me. And then I keep waking up and there's like little bottles of arsenic on our counter and toasters by the bathtub. And I'm like, what's going on, Brian?
Tom would never.
No, no. Oh no, I was trying to imply that I was sleepwalking and doing it like I'm in a
No. Don't kill Tom.
No. I love him.
He's great.
He's wonderful. He the world really needs is him. Wonderful. We do. He's a wonderful human being. If you've listened to our latest episode of H&H that came out today, if not, please do. It's a good time. We talk about people in Star Wars. Friendship seems to suck in Star Wars. This is kind of where I'm getting at. Like, you can't trust anybody. And even people like Qui-Gon Jinn are actually assholes. And, you know, we were talking. I was like, oh, wow. He's really rude to Jar Jar Binks upon first meeting. Then he completely screws over Boss Nass. Mm-hmm. And he's really not that nice, actually. And then he's kind of talking shit about all the Jedi, even though he says he's their friends. So anyways, and then you got Lando and Han. There's a lot of bad friends. Sid and the Bad Batch. Bo-Katan's just a walking, problematic Bo-Karan of all of Mandalore. Anyways, I also was in a car accident last week, and working with insurance has been an absolute nightmare. So I'm going to preface today's conversation with the fact that I acknowledge that my own personal turmoil and the fact that I haven't had a car payment in 5 years. Now, like, I'm probably going to have a car payment that I'm not real thrilled about. It threw me off my plan. To quote Ben from last week, you know, I am that queer who will drive into Target in their Mercedes, even though I don't have a Mercedes, but for this purpose, let's say I have a Mercedes and I'm still going to haggle about $3 because that's the way I roll. That's how I got that Mercedes. That's how I got it. My haggling. Anyways. So,
pay single digits for a charger. No double digits.
No, I forgot about that.
Not only did I save money, we also got steps in though. So I was saving my wallet and I was improving all of our health with wonderful walking exercise. So you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you, Ryan. Really care about y'all. Okay. So real quick, we're going to talk about today's episode of The Mandalorian. There's some high points, there's some fine points, and a lot of fine points are making me personally feel like I have a low point. I had to quote tweet myself because this morning I was on a Star Wars high talking about how wonderful things were. And then a few hours later, I had to quote tweet myself saying my high is wearing off. And so I think there's some things to. Hey, Blake, in this house.
Hi, Blake.
First of all, love you, Blake. Thank you for taking care of our boy. And we shoot for 20,000 steps a day in this house.
Do you really?
That's our goal. Yes.
That is such an iconic thing to do as a family.
Yeah.
I love that. Wow. Yeah.
It's our goal. I don't know if I generally hit them as much as I used to, but Tom hits 20,000 steps a day. I think Tom's average is 26,000 steps a day or something like that.
Damn. Not me. Yeah. Not me.
Well, that's why Tom looks like he does in his 50s. That's why he's still so hot.
So you're calling me ugly.
Yes. Yep. Okay. That's exactly what I said. Yep.
So all of a sudden I'm not aging well. So all of a sudden I'm 50.
As I shaved my head last week and it just aged me like 10 years. I feel like I was watching a stream back. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm into this. And Tom's like, no, babe, you're hot. You're sexy. Okay. Real quick, everyone. Crystal Kyber, first, thank you for the shout out because I didn't say that in our little DM. But everyone, please go to either Chase's Twitter or my Twitter or Crystal's Twitter, probably more appropriately. And even more appropriately than that, head on over to Crystal's YouTube channel and watch this video because honestly, I apologize to Crystal for taking me a minute to get to her video, but I actually think it was the Force sending me her video the minute I needed to see it because it brought a lot of peace to my life after how I was feeling around 10 a.m. this morning. And then I watched it. I was like, oh, my queen, she has spoken. I have listened. I have heard. And I thank you. So everyone go watch Crystal's latest video. Also, I'm always so impressed by makeup. I don't wear makeup. I am not that person. I have no clue how to do it. As I feel like I've learned a lot over the last few years of podcasting with the two of you about like what things are. But anyways, watching who's already a beautiful woman then put on makeup and transform themselves into someone completely different, all while also talking Star Wars is and talking in a microphone and looking at a camera and also maybe occasionally bumping a desk in this particular video.
Okay.
But anyways, it's amazing. It's that. So, okay. I'm done distracting.
Listen, let's I'm down to talk about episode. Anything else.
Oh, Chase, is it that bad? Really?
No, it's not. It's not that the show is bad. I mean, it's not my place to say that. It's just like, it's just not. I've realized that Mando season one, as of now, you know, kind of season one and two were feeding me something very specific and I was going to it for that. And it's no longer giving me what I went to it for. And that's fine. I just think I'm kind of just like, you know, I'm just kind of falling off of it. But the same way, like, you know, I watched Teen Wolf for three seasons, and by season four, I was like, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, that's good. So that's kind of where I'm at, but it's no tea, no shade. Yeah.
Okay. You know what, everyone? This is our show. We can do what we want. Has everyone seen the episode in the steam room? I think they have. Send us your favorite moments. I want to have a bigger conversation. Let's just move past Mando today.
That sounds great.
And talk about like, Emma, is there anything in particular in this episode? I'm sure we'll talk about today's episode with this larger conversation. Are we cool just to have a larger conversation?
Yeah.
To piggyback on Crystal's amazing YouTube video. Okay, here's the deal for me. I think Tom and I have been alluding to this a little bit in our husband and husband episodes talking about the Bad Batch, where honestly, today was another episode that, yes, Ahmed Best was great. I also loved that game show. I don't remember the dude's name anymore, but Buck. Yeah, there we go. Keller and Beck. It was pretty great. Pretty great. It was very exciting. Yeah, also, Grogu was really great in this, and I liked watching him flip and twirl and like take that dude down. I was here for it. It was great. But, okay, we've been alluding to this with the Bad Batch. Today's episode of the Bad Batch, again, personally, I liked it a whole heck of a lot better than The Mandalorian. This is two Bad Batch episodes that I personally have preferred. I love the story that they're telling in Bad Batch when they're telling the story. However, when Bad Batch steps away from that story, it's like, not bad, but it's fine. And I think today there was something that clicked in me after I got to work. And I was like, oh, that was a really fun episode. We had two stellar episodes, whatever my tweet was, right? And then I got to work today and I was thinking about it like I often do. And I realized we're halfway through. And when I realized we're halfway through the season, for me personally, these episodes have all been fine. Today's episode was super fine. It tasted probably like the rations that they were serving last week.
Bland, dry, and crumbly.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, when all you're really craving, like when you're not feeling well, when we're all a little sicky and we're really craving saltine, right?
I you love need saltine.
Like, look, I'm a cheap, thrifty queen, so we don't buy a lot of name brand things in this house. We usually buy the grocery store brands. However, saltines are not one of those things. You need to buy the real saltine because it's the perfect level of saltiness. When you buy the generic brands, there's no salt and it literally tastes like powder in your mouth. And this week, Star Wars has been serving powder in my mouth.
Okay.
It's not bad. So, look, we all know I love Star Wars. I don't think there's any debate from anyone that has listened for very long that I love Star Wars. I want nothing more than Star Wars to succeed. But honestly, I think I have too much Star Wars. So, Emma, let me talk to you because I don't know where you're at. What did you think of today's episode? Where are you at with The Mandalorian this season in general?
So, I found it enjoyable to watch. I was also thinking a lot about the episode, and I find that what I'm missing are stakes and like emotional engagement. Like, I feel like the first two seasons really used storytelling tropes and archetypes that help us to sort of engage really meaningfully with stories and feel like deeply emotionally affected and feel some kind of emotional catharsis. And there hasn't been any of that this season. And I think that that's what's missing. Yep. I feel like the, like even episode three, I feel like, yeah, it was pretty cool. And like those characters read as queer and like, that was fun. But, you know, I feel like almost like if it had been written as a Buffy episode, it would have hit emotional beats harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like I've seen those kinds of stories done in a way that was more affecting
mm-hmm.
to the viewer. And yeah, I want to get played like a violin. Like that's what I want from my stories.
Yeah.
And I feel like that hasn't been happening, you know?
Okay.
And although
I want to interject something real quick. Sorry, Steam Queens. This was from a private conversation earlier. So just peek behind the curtain for a second. Emma, tell your sleeping self that what you just said. Tell sleeping M you want to be played like a fiddle. Okay. Go ahead.
So, and once again, Buck is wrong. I love you.
I disagree, Buck. I love you.
Yeah,
but
I love you so much.
I disagree. Yeah, I cried in season one, and I've only seen season one.
Yeah, yeah. Respectfully,
I've never really seen Buffy.
So, yes. Okay. Now, having said that, there were some things that I really liked about the story, and things that I found intriguing. Like, okay, well, for one thing, I loved watching how the covert trains their younglings. Like, I loved that. That was a really great insight into Mandalorian culture. The training darts were fantastic. The training sequence, or the challenge sequence between Grogu and, that was Paz Vizsla's son, right? Yeah, yep. It was. Yeah. That was amazing. I loved it. And I wanted it to go on forever. Paz Vizsla's voice is so amazing.
I was waiting for someone to bring up his voice. Because like during the episode today, I was like, damn. I was like, yeah. You sound good.
It's a new person, like, right? It's not John Favreau anymore?
I would assume so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Steam Queens, anyone know?
That voice, woof.
I don't know much about.
You're for it. Oh, and then the last thing that I wanted to say was, I'm not exactly sure what we were supposed to take away from the conversation at the end between the armor and Bo-Katan.
Gaslighting bitch is what we were supposed to take away with.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know, Brian.
Like
I'm trying to figure out what the point of that conversation. Like,
okay, the point of that conversation was
trying to tell the viewer. Like, what are they trying to convey to the audience? Are they trying to convey to the audience that like seeing the Mythosaur is like such an incredibly meaningful, wild, unbelievable thing that we're supposed to feel really moved that it was still there? Like, is it possible that even the armor doesn't believe that it's still alive and it still exists? Or is it just that the armor is trying to challenge Bo-Katan to go deeper?
No.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chase. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, part of me, my whole issue with season three is I don't really know what they're trying to say. And I think that this is one of those times where I am desperate for them just to drop the whole season onto fucking Disney Plus, because the way that they're like in the past two seasons, the way they wrote for it were very weekly types of episodes, and they were satisfying. They were full stories, and I don't need full stories still. I just like, there was a lot of TLC in it, and this, I think they're playing a bigger game, which, like, go off, queen, do what you want. It's your show. But it just, like, I wish we kind of could watch the whole thing, because going week to week, it is just confusing us what they're trying to say. Because, like, the way I read that moment at the end was, I thought that the armor was sort of like, I think the armorer knows that the mythosaur is there somehow. I mean, I don't know. She had the living waters in that little tube. She clearly gets them from someone. I think there's like another person behind the scenes, and she's like, she's like trying to convince Bo-Katan that she was just seeing things. Cause I don't know. Yep. I don't know what this show is trying to tell me.
You know what, Chase? Okay. I'm with you. How do I even phrase this? Okay. Let's start with just The Mandalorian in general, because I think I have bigger, deeper thoughts at Star Wars as a whole right now for me that I can't wait to talk to everyone else out loud. So maybe I can help process some of these things I'm going through. But let's stick it to The Mandalorian. Look, I agree with Boopenheim. I trust no one in this show. They're all after control of Mandalore. Also, ISTG, but I don't know what that means. So
I swear to God.
Oh, okay. Yep. See, too old for cool shorthand. I swear to God. I trust no one.
I swear to garage.
I swear to the garage. You know what? Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I'll never say his name in vain. I swear to the garage. Please. Jesus walked out on me a long ass
time
ago.
This is the way.
they're all after control of Mandalore. I agree. Okay, here's the deal. Don't hate the show. I'm not going to go on some rant about how awful it is. Star Wars is ruined. That's not my MO. That's not what I believe. I don't think those things. But I will say that this show, for me, feels very fine. It feels like that generic brand of a saltine. And I love Star Wars too much to just be fine. And I feel like Buffy, okay, I know this is going to get a lot of hate thrown my way, but to me, Buffy was a TV show. It's a WB show. It's great. It ran for a bunch of seasons, but I don't know if Buffy is this like legacy that we're going to talk about 45 years later, right? Star Wars is a legacy. And I feel Disney Plus bought it and they took the scripture and then sold that scripture and are now having Joel Olstein read the book to the masses. And so we're getting this sanitized version of scripture. And I find that I'm having a hard time with that. There's too much. Where we used to get 3 years between stories, a decade, decade and a half between trilogies to like craft really, really beautiful things. I'm here for it. I like it. I don't like what I'm reading online constantly about the Clone Wars. And people love to bring up Clone Wars with me because they know how much I love Clone Wars. And Clone Wars had filler episodes, and Clone Wars had this. Well, Clone Wars is also 15 years ago. Storytelling on television is not told like that anymore. So I don't even think you can compare the two, personally, because that's just not how TV is told anymore. That way of storytelling exists maybe, but not on a streaming service. And that's not what these are trying to do for me. However, so I'm just feeling very flat. Din Djarin, I feel no connection to Din Djarin, and I think I'm having a really hard time not having any connection to Din Djarin. However, I'm curious if that is because I'm not supposed to right now. Like, he's coming back to the Children of the Watch. None of us want him there because we as an audience all know it's the wrong path for him. And I almost feel like this is Din Djarin that we met in the first episode. But that Din Djarin left us by the third episode of the first season. When he came back to get Grogu, that version of Din was gone. Then he went and bought his new armor. He strutted into a bar, his queen self, all like, I'm here, bitches, and I'm here to slay. And now, like, he's not there again. And so I don't know if I'm having a hard time connecting to it because I'm having a hard time connecting to the main character, but that's what I'm supposed to do. But I don't think that's what it is. I just think it's really bland. With that said, I did like the stuff with the armor today. I think the armor slays. I loved her whole thing about forging our armor is like us forging our lives. All that was really beautiful. I love it when the armor talks metaphor with whatever. I think it's great. I felt like our mother was back, like our drag mother was back telling us like how to be. I was here for that. I did not like how I think she was very dismissive to Bo-Katan. I think she's lying. I do think, for all we know, the armor herself has been over there traveling up and down that canyon and taking a bath herself once a week to get herself some fancy water and lying to everybody else that you can't go there. Because I think the armor is gaslighting the hell out of Bo-Katan and like, no, you didn't see anything. You didn't see anything because she's after power. And I think we are still supposed to think that there's something wrong with not religion, I don't want to say religion, but the Children of the Watch, they're kind of bad guys right now. And I think that was a way of us hearing her lie to Bo-Katan, personally. What do we think?
Again, we just don't know. I mean, I will say that I do relate to the disconnection from Din, and I've been talking about it with a few other people, because it's just like, We were with Din on his whole journey from season one to season two of like really opening up, working through a lot of stuff and like literally taking off his helmet to show his kid. And then like the top of season three, him active. I mean, I literally had the Scooby-Doo sound effect playing in my head when he decided, he's like, oh, I got to bring Grogu back to the Death Watch. Like to begin with, I just find that confusing. And I think that like, yeah, that disconnection is because it's just like a sort of betrayal of the character that we grew with him to be. And like, I am missing sort of like Din and Grogu having some intimacy with the relationship and kind of being with each other and developing alongside each other. That was some of my favorite things we saw with them going to Mandalore together and like Din really teaching him like what it's like to be a Mandalorian in general. So I'm really missing that. One thing I will say though that I loved about this episode was the Grogu battle. That was one of my favorite things ever. And I laughed out loud when he shot the guy three times just because he could. I was like slay. You know, that was the moment.
I was here for Din too. Like, I loved watching Din stand up for his boy and like prove all of those people wrong. And you know, I was even here for Bo-Katan, who was like outwardly supportive, but she clearly didn't think he could do it either, but like she was still going to be there and be supportive to Grogu. That was like,
she's like,
really,
your dad's
kind,
just proud of you. That's
it was a really nice soft part of Bo-Katan that we don't get to see a lot of, and right. I like that Grogu is bringing that out in her. I think it's all great. I, you know what, because I really am having a hard time connecting, and that is something that I have never had with the show. I've connected to the show the second that show started, and I like what Will says here. Much love, but I feel like a lot of us are struggling with a conflict about cultural differences that doesn't center on queerness or isn't instantly applicable to queerness. Maybe.
No, I disagree. I mean, it's a good point, and I think that it might be true for some, but I think like for me, one of the conversations I was having with myself was like, okay, well, am I just mad because I have like religious trauma? But then I'm like, no, like they really positioned, I feel like Death Watch has been positioned to be a like violent extremism group. Mm-hmm. So it's more like, it's not like I just like don't want them to like romanticize religion. I'm cool with religion. I studied religions all through undergrad. So like I get what that point, but for me, I will speak for myself. It actually is just like, no, like the way that Death Watch has been positioned through the Clone Wars and through Mandalorian season one and two, it really, that's sort of my confusion. My compass is off.
Maybe. You know, I'm also wondering if, like, I just don't like where anyone's at right now in the show.
Which could be intentional.
100%. That's why I'm like, am I feeling the way I'm supposed to feel? I don't know. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, because there's really great stuff. I got to tell you, the costuming department, all those Mandalorians looks like cosplay festival, and I'm not here for it. I don't like it. Everyone's in baggy clothes, and they're all mismatchy colors, and there's too much going on, and I'm very confused.
Because they're like the last of their kind.
Yeah, they're supposed to look like ragamuffins.
Yeah,
but they don't.
They're making do with what they have.
They look like they're trying too hard to make them look like ragamuffins.
Everyone is entitled to their opinion.
Yes. But anyways, that's also making it hard for me, actually, because we're spending a lot of time with them, and they looked great when they were in the dark, but now that they're out in the sunshine, and they all have fancy fresh paint, but they're also supposed to be poor and barely struggling, and I don't like it. Maybe I don't, maybe this is some of it. I have never been a huge Mandalorian person. That was my concern when the show was first announced, and now we're really getting in the weeds of Mandalorian stuff, and I'm like, they're a bunch of bros. Like, I'm not into that. Like, that's not my jam. I'm not here for it. And where I thought Mandalorian, the show, was like really separating itself from that, and maybe right now we're leaning into it because that's where Din is at, and we're going to get out of it. And I'm really hoping by the end of the season, I'm going to feel very differently. But right now, maybe I'm with you, Chase. This could have just been all dropped at once or something. I don't know. I'm not normally a fan of that. But
yeah, I just think that it would be nice to know where they are going. And I think that the fact, which I don't normally feel in TV shows that I enjoy. And I think the fact that I am feeling like wanting to know where they're going so that I can enjoy the current episode is like indication to me of not as much care writing wise that was put into season one and two, which is like, it was so, what I think is like important to highlight is in seasons one and two, it would be like annoying sometimes where it's like, oh my God, I thought he was going to go to the Frog Lady's planet, but now we have to do this like mini adventure. But the mini adventure was always fun. Do you know what I mean? And you always like trusted that we weren't there yet and that we were taking our time to get there. This to me doesn't feel like that. It's like, I'm not getting any sense of like satisfaction and like, and I'm not able to like make peace with the fact that I don't know what happens. Not because I'm like a big Star Wars fan and want to know what happens next. It's more like I need to know how to contextualize this because I don't know where to look. Like it's unfocused to me. That is, yes, what I'd say about that.
You know, I like that. I agree. I think I agree. I don't know where we're going, and it's feeling frustrating, honestly. And I feel like I don't know. I haven't been real happy. I'm not mad. I don't hate them, but I'm not real happy. Like, I mean, honestly, I would come here. I couldn't wait for every episode. I was like overwhelming with glee and bounciness. It's something similar that the Bad Batch is doing for me. Like, I feel like when I get these one-off episodes in between the really big overarching story that the Bad Batch is telling, they're just fine. At least... Like, again, to bring up the Clone Wars, because I keep reading that on Twitter a lot, of the Clone Wars. But, you know, when we had these, like, weird random episodes that maybe neither Ahsoka, Anakin, or Obi-Wan were even in, they were at least fun, and you got a full story in that. Like, something happened, and it might have been a side jump, but something happened. Bad Batch, when things aren't happening, look, there's cool character beats and all that, but that's not enough to make a show. Like, if you're not progressing the story enough, then you needed to rewrite it. And I don't know, like, that's kind of where I feel like we're just kind of meandering about and not really pushing the story forward. You could have done everything that we've experienced so far, honestly, could have been in an hour-long episode. A really tight, really clean hour-long episode, we could have accomplished all of this.
I feel like some of it, I almost feel like this type of storytelling is kind of like video game style. There's this meta thing that happens, like when you're playing a video game, like if you're playing an RPG and you know that it's 86 hours long, okay? Like that's about how long it takes the average person to play it. You can get to a point in the story in the video game where it seems like you're all set, but you know, like, oh, I've only played 30 hours. I've only played 35 hours, you know? And it's like, there's so many games where that happens. It's like, you think that life is good, you know, like you've got your home base and you've got your friends all around you. And it seems like everything, you're going to live happily ever after, but you know that something is going to go wrong and you're going to have to like go on an adventure or like, you know, fight the bad guy or like the person that you thought was the bad guy that you just beat was not the real bad guy. You know, it's like there's this sort of meta experience where the actual story that you're living in front of you is telling you like all is well, but you know that like, you know, the next time you put the disc in, like something is going to go wrong because you still got another 50 hours to play. And I kind of wonder if whoever planned, like was in the helm of this season of choosing the tone or the pace, kind of was in that mindset where it's like, we think that Din has nowhere to go, like nowhere else to go, that everything has been resolved, but there's something else waiting in the wings, you know? Yep. And they like, and it might not, the person who's writing the story may not realize that it's frustrating to viewers because not everybody approaches story with that mindset. Because if you've never had that experience, then you wouldn't know how that feels.
Mm-hmm. Possibly. I was thinking today, I wonder if we got to Luke Skywalker too quickly.
Or do you think we reversed everything a little bit too quickly?
That possibly too. I'm just like, I feel like, and again, maybe this is really intentional and maybe I'm feeling like exactly how I'm supposed to feel. I don't know. They have given us two incredible seasons that have been honest to God, like incredible. So I trust them, but like, we fell backwards. Blue put it in here earlier. Maybe it was Crystal. I can't remember. Like the Din that we have today is not the Din from the end of season two. He's not the same person. Like it's not building upon itself. I don't know. I don't know. It feels like it's regressed.
I agree. I mean, I think first and foremost, I have to be completely honest with you guys. I hate that we're talking about this right now. Like, and I mean that genuinely, to be vulnerable for a second. I hate that we're talking about this right now because I hate talking about Star Wars critically because all I'm doing is sitting here thinking about how we're going to get in trouble by people who like listen. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
And I don't mean like Disney people. We're not getting paid. I mean like just like people on the internet being mad. No. And sometimes
or also
our
the people
friends.
That like us.
Right. Yes. And it's I just hate that I feel like we're gonna get fucking grief for like having an opinion on the show. Which like it listen, the one thing that I was thinking about today, I have plenty of opinions about this show. And people DM me today and a couple friends asked me what I thought. And I said all my opinions and they were pretty brutal. I was just honest. And at the end of it, I was like, but they're just my opinions. I was like, and I'm not saying that everything I just texted you, just so you know, as my friend, like those aren't critiques. That's just me saying what I did like and what I don't like. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I think that what's so frustrating, I'm in this place of like, I've never claimed, and I don't think many people do claim their opinions to be critiques or claim them to be right. I don't give my opinion to be right. So why is that weaponized against me and I'm told I'm wrong when I share the opinion? If I'm not claiming it's right, you can't say it's wrong. So, and I get that we all want to be positive and happy, but I think the meta experience of this is like, I think it's fascinating that we're not excited about it and that we're varying degrees of excitement about it. So what is objectively true, by the way, is that this week's episode has us feeling this way, which you can say is a reflection of the writing in this episode. You can say a reflection on anything you want because it's a reflection on what Em's going through, what Chase is going through, what Brian's going through personally. Yep. But I do think it's interesting that we're both just like, oh, we're all like this. You know what I mean? And it's just like, that's what it is. I'm scared to talk about it, but I also like, if we're talking about it, I'm going to be as honest as I can about it.
Do you want to hear what I hate? Can I talk about what I hate for a second?
Yeah. And
Brian, mm-hmm. go. If you don't mind me interrupting you.
No, go.
So what I hate is I hate that nobody has fun debating anymore.
Yes. 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 You know,
okay, like, I was literally about to go here.
Where I come from, like talking things over and like making your points and like backing it up and then hearing differing viewpoints from other people, like my friends and my family, like when I was growing up, like we did that for fun.
Yes.
And yes. It was like to exercise our brains. And mm-hmm. I feel like the thing is, so I mean, as usual, one of the things that I blame is capitalism. I blame capitalism because for this phenomenon, and I'll tell you how I'm going to get there. It's that, you know, social media and living in a capitalistic society social media means that, you know, there's this obligation, often unspoken, to cultivate a personal brand.
100%. Become a personal celebrity amongst your circle of friends.
Brands are for cereal boxes. Yes. They're not for human beings.
No.
This is not to any of you. This is to that idea. Just so we all know.
To the concept.
So the thing is, the problem is that when you're trying to cultivate a personal brand and express that brand and like transmit it out to like other people who are witnessing you, it forces you into this earnestness. And it forces you to perform authenticity in a way that precludes being able to play in social interactions. Mm. Like everything, you have to take everything personally.
Yes.
And so when you're like, when you're having these sort of playful arguments, discussions, debates, like it crushes that ability. You can't be playful. You can't advocate for things that you don't necessarily believe. You can't, you know, you can't like sort of try to take another person's position. You can't have that sort of banter back and forth, right?
Yes. Can I jump in? Because there's also one other thing. Another thing you can't do, I mean, another thing you can't do is give a opinion that is dissimilar to the majority. So the second you do that, you make yourself a target. And it drives me up a wall. And I think I'm coming to a place now where I'm like, I can only respectfully go on, like literally have Twitter on my phone when we're outside of a premiere of a show. I can't do it. I really can't do it. But yes, it prohibits you from like, you have to be right all the time. And being right doesn't necessarily mean what you want to say or how you actually feel. And you might not even be aware of it. And it might be tainting how you watch the show. But you have to be right in terms of like the majority and what everyone's saying, because you don't want to be that person who is contrarian. You don't want to be contrarian. And maybe it's just because I'm Aquarius, but I'm pretty fucking contrarian, and I will own that to the end of the day.
Honestly, you know, one of the things that I try teaching my children, and this is something I honestly strive in my own personal, like my personal journey of human growth, right? It's not fun and it's not easy to be wrong. But truthfully, I look forward to the opportunities when I am wrong or disagree. Like that is when we grow. That is when we learn. Crystal came in here last week and was just like, she said, because she did not like last week's episode. And she came into our chat where Emma, you and I liked it. I still like it. I think I feel less powerful about it this week as I did last week. Personally, but it was still great. It's the best episode of the season for me so far. No, last week's.
Three,
I think, is the best of the season for me, but it's not sitting where it did last week. I'm not sure if my mountain peak is popping about out of capital,
out of capitalism.
But Crystal came in and said, I like to listen to people's different opinions. I feel like I can learn something, which I agree. And just to piggyback on what you were saying, Emma, truthfully, this is where sometimes I feel like I am too much of a Gen Xer. I'm like sitting, you know, where I was born, I'm literally on the border of Gen X and Gen Y, right? I tend to lean Gen X. You tend to lean Gen Y, I feel, and I tend to lean Gen X. It's just it's the way it is, right? And so I don't always understand all of these social media rules. I don't want to understand them. I'm also like you tell me to turn right, I'm going to go left. That's just also who I am as a person. But like this idea nowadays that we have to preface everything. Look, okay. When we're talking about a Mandalorian, when we're on Pink Milk podcast talking about Star Wars, the fact that we feel that we have to come, this is just my opinion. You know, no, it should be implied. We're talking about a media. We're talking about a show. It should be implied that this is my opinion, that I like it or not. Why do we have to go and like is the thing that drives me.
But that's
nuts.
What I'm saying. I'm saying that we're forced to do that because we're put in that position of having to do that because everyone else is primed to receive what we're saying as like defining us and defining our thoughts because we have to put ourselves in these little boxes, which are our brands.
Yep.
And on top of that, you say like, well, why can't, what did you ask? You said something like, well, why it should be assumed. The reason we can't allow that to be assumed is because as soon as we allow people to understand the fact that a tweet about a piece of media is an opinion and an opinion only, if that was the if that was the go-to, then it would, it to some people, debase everything that they do, which is they're a critic on Twitter, right? So then it's like, if to assume that, to like have everyone just assume that it's like, know that it's coming from a place of opinion, then it makes everyone else obsolete because it's all just opinions and none of it matters. None of it matters.
You know, it's, yeah, I mean, that's something I'm experiencing lately. Chase and I have a lot of off conversations one-on-one about these very things. I think we are both in a very similar spot right now. But like, one thing that I've learned lately with Twitter specifically is, look, I'm sarcastic. I have a dry sense of humor. I know I'm a nice person. I don't ever feel the need to like, by the way, I'm nice. I'm not that. I think anyone who listens to the show knows the Pink Milk is a place that you can come to and have a different opinion and it's going to be fine, right? So when I'm on Twitter, personally, I don't carry that. To me, my Twitter is an extension of this. Hello, Rick. Like, I don't feel the need to also run Twitter to be the separate thing. With if you follow me on Twitter and don't listen to the show, that's cool. Like, I don't have any problems with that, but I'm not going to censor myself for Twitter when I have 260 episodes. Most of them are at least an hour long. So 260 hours of me talking about something where you can get my speech, you can understand my sense of humor, and if you know me, you'll understand my tweets. I have no longer accept responsibility for the way people read those things. And only because I have this. If I didn't have this and that was the only way I communicated, I might feel differently. But like, my Twitter personally is also for Pink Milk. So it's not like Brian Graham or Brian. Oh my God. I haven't heard Brian Graham in a long time.
You really haven't been having dreams with your husband in it.
Even never go back to that name. Yeah. Oh, hello. Thank you. Thank you, Alex and Molly. Yeah, so like, that's where I'm at with social media right now, personally. And I do think it's, I don't know. Like, I guess I am still stuck in this way, to go back to what Em was saying also. Like, I'm old enough to have loved Star Wars for so long before there was a Twitter, before there was a word fandom out there. That word didn't exist. It didn't exist. We were fans of something, you know? And part of being a Star Wars fan was speculating what was going to happen next, speculating what was going to happen, having different thoughts on the thing, and all of us nerds would gather together and like have way too long conversations about like, was Darth Vader Anakin or was Darth Vader Darth Vader? Were they one or two separate people? And you would like have those debates and it was fun. That was the part of being in fandom. And unfortunately right now, like, because, and again, it's probably because like Mandalorian is new. And so we all have to like it. If you come out and say, I wasn't a big fan of the show, then everyone's like, you're not a real Star Wars fan. Then if you like it, you're just a shell. And it's like, oh my God, like,
what I found to be,
it is exhausting. It's really, really hard.
What I have found to be like something that is increasingly alarming for me is there's like, it's no longer just, oh, like you're a hater or oh, you're a shill. Now it's like kind of getting to the point where it's like, oh, like you're dumb, you don't get it. And that is like, it is so mean, you guys. Like, it is so mean. And I want to sit here and be shady about how it's like stupid to say that, because it is, but it's just not nice. And it's pretty gnarly to see people do that, because I talked about it a little bit on Twitter today, and it's like, to not connect with a story and disagree with a plot point is a very valid experience. And one thing that really grinds my gears is when people will be like, oh, well, go make your own show then. You didn't like this show because it wasn't what you wanted. But it's like, whoa, everyone needs to take a deep ass fucking breath and understand that you can watch a TV show, you can experience you can read a book, you can watch a movie, you can play a video game, and you cannot like a part of the plot. You cannot like a plot choice without being an asshole. And like, and and it's so isolating to be there. And so to add like insult to injury, to just say that someone's dumb and like doesn't get it, is so harmful. So just like, think about that. And it's like, if like an episode is referencing some old ass fucking movie that I haven't seen yet, so I don't get the fucking reference, then like, maybe I'm not going to like that episode, but don't use that against me just because it's not like, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because it just drives me nuts. And it drives me nuts, not because of ego or pride. It drives me nuts because it's not nice. And I see more and more people talking like that online, and it is so not cute. It's not it. So anyway, also, this lip gloss is Lady Gaga's new shade in House Labs. Thank you, Molly, for asking. I love you so much. Welcome, Stars Explain Chat. Sorry, we are talking about a million other things, but this is the new shade.
Everyone.
It's called Tint, and it's everything. So would recommend.
See, also, thank you, Molly, because to circle back to a conversation earlier, probably a year and a half ago, I wouldn't have known what lip balm was. I would have only known of chapsticks. So now I feel like I've grown. I wasn't totally lost on what
it was.
Is
this called?
So lip balm?
Mm-mm. There we go. It's lip gloss.
Darn it. Well, you know what? I have that little black bottle with the little white lip tip, and it says chapstick on it. And sometimes I put
it's
that
like
on.
Literally the chapstick brand.
You know what? This is why I relate to Din Djarin. Din Djarin wouldn't know these things either.
100%. I love that for you.
It's true. Din Djarin doesn't need lip gloss. No one would ever see it.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, I'm really curious because, again, Chase, to circle back to even what you just brought up, like, if there is an episode of any media that is reflecting like a previous thing, right? And someone said, well, you didn't see that movie. And your response is, well, I'm not old enough to have seen that movie. Well, you know what? Honestly, they failed anyways.
Well, yeah, and that's not because my response is that I'm not old enough, to be clear.
No,
I haven't seen that movie.
No, I know. But I'm like, but you know, we all like now in Twitter, we all like to bring back up that, you know, Kurosawa films. Or, you know, what? Most people that saw Star Wars didn't know what Kurosawa was. They knew what Kurosawa was because of Star Wars, and they already liked Star Wars, so they went back. So George Lucas was inspired by something, made it his own, and then we liked it. We didn't need to see those things to understand it. So whenever I'm on there, they're like,
Brian,
you don't need to see something to understand it. If that's the case, then objectively, they failed.
Like if it didn't matter. Yeah.
And you know, like that's something I know from Tom's perspective. I think he's been getting a little frustrated. And honestly, like, here's the deal. And I'm sorry to all the Star Wars Explain people, like, spoiler alert, like, none of us particularly loved this episode. So we're having a conversation on like how to process not loving something without being a hater, without being this, and still approaching things from a healthier perspective, I think.
And
we don't like something.
I also just want to say we all have things that we probably like about this episode. And that's the thing about season 3 for me, is like, there's plenty of like really cool moments, really great things that I love. But I will say, I also just wanted to highlight that last week when y'all were talking about the episode, all three of y'all loved it and I didn't like it. And it was like, by the end of the conversation, like like Em was talking about, like, the specific scratch that, like, the specific itch that is scratched in my brain when I can just, like, debate, like, and just kind of talk about difference of opinion. Because, like, it is so satisfying. And, like, I still don't like that episode, but I appreciate it. Do you know what I mean? I can look at it and be like, see, like, colors in it that I didn't see before. And, like, little details that I didn't see before. Like, that is awesome. And so I just also wanted to give further context, like, the kinds of conversations we have over here.
And, you know, and truthfully, I am someone, if I didn't love Star Wars, I might not just watch it again. But, like, I love Star Wars. It is, like, literally, honestly, sometimes, also, if you weren't here earlier, you know, Star Wars is scripture to me. And so it's incredibly important. It is, like, baked into my DNA of who I am. So it is, like, honestly, when I don't like something, I also, and this plays into my own mental health, because I take it too seriously and I don't like something, it really wears on me and it makes me sad that I didn't like something. I don't have the ability to just go, that one wasn't for me. I can do that with anything else, but not Star Wars. Like, it really wears on me emotionally, and it's probably not healthy. Maybe I should go see that droid that Pershing was talking to last week.
No, you should talk to a real
Actually,
maybe person
that
and not
one.
That,
yeah,
not
that
yes, talk to a therapist.
The one who did not listen.
So I don't know. It's just, I worry too, like, are we Tom has been having a hard time connecting because he's feeling as if he is missing something because of all the backstory. So one of the things that I left today with, right? And again, I didn't love this episode, but one of the things that I walked away with was how much I love Star Wars, because I feel like, okay, I don't know if I love this episode right now. I haven't decided for me if I feel like it was a poorly written episode, was it poorly acted, was it just not for me, or whatnot. But Star Wars has been around for, what, 45 years, right? To me, it's a legacy show. It's legacy. There's something beyond just six movies. And I'm saying six movies because before it became what it is, it was just six movies built what we have now. Without, so I love small, tiny details. I love the idea of things being a slow story, or you meet this character here and something pays off 3 years later. To a point, because I feel that's what makes Star Wars feel so rich. It isn't immediate serotonin boost. It isn't like, we're going to inject you with this. It hasn't ever been full-on fan service all the time. George Lucas challenged you. I mean, I lived through the prequels where people hated them because he literally, George Lucas, is like me. You tell George to go right, the dude's going to go left. And George Lucas knew everyone loved the Jedi. So what he did, they're fucked up. And I'm going to show you why they're messed up. You can still like love what they aspire to be, but they did not hit. They didn't make it up the peak. They stopped or they went to a different target. But like, that's what I want Star Wars to be. And I'm concerned for me that there is too much Star Wars right now. Like, I loved Andor so much. And after today's episode, I really missed Andor. Even though for the entire time Andor was on, I was like, I really like this, but I'm having a hard time connecting with it. But I miss being challenged. I miss being challenged with what Star Wars could be. I missed being challenged by the emotional depths that that show took us. And like, I didn't even have time to process it. And then Bad Batch started. And then Bad Batch wasn't even over. And now we've got Mandalorian. And I'm like, I'm still like, back there on episode one of Andor, trying to figure out like what the hell is this dude going through. Like, I think for me personally, and this is something I have to work through, I liked time between Star Wars because I could live in those episodes, that one episode, for so long. And like, and I don't know if I don't have that time anymore. And I don't know if they're right. And if I don't have time to view them like that, do they have time to make them like that? That's what I'm worried about. Are we getting it out so much? Like, see, like the effects aren't looking as great. And I don't want to hear anybody come to me about the prequels not looking good. And you should, well, because the dude literally invented everything happening right there. So as a 20-year-old back there in 1999, when it came out, it looked fucking phenomenal. So let's just boop right now, because it was great. But like, I don't know. They're not really pushing technology the same way they used to. And now it just feels like a rush job, which I also am not a huge Marvel person, but I hear that is the complaints of some Marvel stuff now, is they're overworked and the quality is going down because they're overworked. I don't want that to happen to Star Wars, because Star Wars is not the MCU. And I don't want it to become the MCU. And I'm very selfish. And I know that is like, slight shade to the MCU, no shade to anybody. Chase loves the MCU right there, but like, it is like, they're fun movies.
I mean, Brian, I don't want to be that person, but I think that you are in for a surprise. I think, I don't know anything, but like, you know, they're both owned by the same larger corporation who wants to make their streaming platform the biggest and biggest and buffest streaming platform. So I will say that I don't know if that, I think that'll keep happening, but I don't mind that we're getting a lot of Star Wars. For my like prequels, I've always had Star Wars around sort of brain. Like, I've always had Star Wars to watch. I think that like, I don't mind that. I just would like, and this is what I would like. I would like season one and season two. Season two is like a little bit different than season one, but it was still, there were certain essences there that we could do a whole episode on that I'm not going to talk about right now that are not in season three. And that's okay. But I think it's just like kind of like become the show that I don't necessarily vibe with. And I said that earlier, but yep. I guess my point is, I think I don't mind getting a lot of content. I wish it was
better.
consistent. I don't, I want to say consistent.
Consistent is
in
good.
A not, yep. In a not shady way, just like yep. consistent for me and my personal viewing experience. Again, these are opinions. I wish it was
yep.
consistent for me.
That's yep. That's something I'm really, like I said, I am specifically learning from The Bad Batch.
Mm.
Because when The Bad Batch season 2 has been hitting, honest to God, it's some of the greatest Star Wars stories I've ever been given. Like, they are so good. Those stories are going to live in me for a really long time. I'm going to learn more about Star Wars and rethink everything going on. They are so good. And I feel like maybe that's what happened for me again in The Mandalorian. I loved every single episode of the first two seasons. They were so good that each one gave you something that was so like mind-blowing. Something happened for me in every episode, right? That these are not bad shows. If this was any other show, you know, I'd probably really be into it. But it's not good enough for Star Wars for me. Like, that's just how I'm feeling. Like, Star Wars is better than everything else. And I expect more out of it. It's just, that's the way it is. Like, has this legacy to live up to of excellence. And they've done really, really well. Even, you know what, the sequel trilogy had some excellence in there. I like that they really challenged what Star Wars could be. Like, the sequel trilogy got really meta. It was really, really interesting. The whole idea that had never been done in Star Wars, really, it had never really been done of like, I live in this galaxy with all these other things, and can I ever live up to it? And then the idea of like this new company buying this other, like, it was amazing. It was interesting. Like, I love the sequel trilogy for that. You know, they all have their own things too, just like everything does. But like, that aspect of the sequel trilogy was so great. I think Mandalorian almost did that a little bit. The Mandalorian was like challenging us of what a Mandalorian could be. And it's been really hard watching our character that was so defiant at the beginning. Maybe he was not defiant, but this journey that he was being put onto was so defiant to what a Mandalorian could be. And now we're slipping backwards. Again, you know what? By the end of the season, I could be going, thank God we went on that journey. Because if we didn't have that, I don't know. But right now I'm just like, they're fine, but I don't want fine. And that's really selfish and maybe unhealthy.
But that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. Period. Full stop. I love that. I love that for you. I love that.
Yeah.
And it makes total sense.
I don't know. Do we have anything else to add?
I mean, I could do this all day. Now that we're in it, I'm like, I could do this all
Let's
day.
Let's do it. Well, right now, you know what I feel like? Because right now, at least people that are like logged into YouTube, we had 66 people. And I feel like Pink Milk has just become the Order 66. I'm really nervous. The one time we talked about Tross, we didn't like it. I had so much hate mail from our people. I love all you watching, so please don't send me hate mail that we didn't like this episode. That was a lot to process.
Yeah. Yeah. my favorite small moment from this episode was seeing the way that Paz like grabbed his son and like pulled him in for a hug. That was like beautiful. I don't know. That was like my favorite small moment from this episode. So I thought I'd just share that because it was so beautiful. It was so cute. And it was like and it was also great for it's like, look at dads hug their sons and big tough Mandalorian dads hug their sons, which I don't need that message. I don't have a kid, but I'm just saying I like that. Like, people are watching that and it was just very meaningful.
Nope.
It's cute.
You know, I mean, honestly, I mean, Grogu's just perfect.
Oh, mama.
I don't know how after this long, he is still so damn cute. And also, I will say that, you know what? Actually, Grogu has been a massive hit for me this season. Like, Grogu has really grown up. And like, that whole scene when he's reflecting back on Order 66 was really emotional. And like, every time Grogu is on screen, you buy it. It is so good. Yeah, you are just fully invested. It's so good. Yeah, Crystal, Grogu is carrying season 3. I agree. I was really hoping Bo-Katan could, but...
You know what? I would say that I think she's having a very internal experience that we just aren't being... I wish we spent more time with her, honestly, especially this episode. I can tell that there's a lot, like, she's processing a lot. Like, she just casually dropped the mythosaur thing with the armor in the last 5 minutes of the episode.
You know what? That was shocking. I thought she was like that closer to her vest for a while.
It was nope. Yes, and the fact that it happened in the last 5 minutes of the episode was a choice. But I will say I can tell she's like processing a lot and going through a lot, and like the whole thing about her being able to sit by the fire. It's like, could we just have sat like for like 5 more seconds with Bo? Because like I want to be let in on her emotional experience, because she's like very centered in this story, which some people have an issue with, some people don't. I don't mind it. I love Bo. I want more of her. But if you guys are going to bring her in here with this like this internal life and experience, like let us in on that, you know. I really want to be able to know what she's thinking.
Yes, I wanted to know how she felt about that.
Yeah
like yes. But there was really no indication of her feeling.
Visually.
I need to just interject with one really pointless thing, but something that I love. Sorry, everyone. But Lindsay, thank you. Hauser.
Oh, that's
the hot
why I want to
is back.
Episode. Yeah.
Girl, Lindsay. I just wanted to be the white cream between a Mayday and a Hauser sandwich so bad. Like, give me that Oreo. So bad.
I don't know if white cream was the ingredient of choice to choose in that description.
Maybe not. Probably not.
Just Brian Hauser. Being Brian.
Hauser is so hot.
You are lost Mayday. In Hauser right now.
I really am.
Yes.
Mm. He is beautiful. Yeah. Okay. I like Molly here. Molly says that Paz and Ragnar, is that his name? Whatever the kid's name is, was great. I do love that Din got to see that. It was kind of a great. Is Din still going through that?
Going through what?
Oh, Tet. No, I do not buy off-brand Oreos. That's another one you cannot buy. Generic Oreo cookies, they don't hit the same way. The mother's brand, maybe sometimes. But it's pink and purple. Mother. And a very is Din still growing through that? Like I feel
going
like
through
Din,
what?
Though,
going
like,
through what?
Oh, going through like can he love Grogu?
Can he love
there Grogu? Was the, like can he love Grogu? I mean, there was that really interesting comment that he made to Greef Karga in the first episode when Grief was like, he's still with you. And he's like, it's complicated. Like, why can't you say, no, he's my son and I love him?
Yeah, honestly, again, I thought we were there at the end of season two, but fuck my drag. I think I need to rewatch season two, girl. There's a lot of things I thought didn't learn in season two, but again,
like,
that's
okay,
on me.
Again,
that's on me.
I'm going to get emotional because The Mandalorian makes me emotional. I have shared the story before. So, all of you that are new here right now, when my son Michael moved in after his first overnight, it was not supposed to happen that quickly, but it went so well. And we had Michael move in. And when you see the most adorable little 4-year-old you've ever seen in your life, unless you're Silas, that might be a second, you know, pull up in a car and literally fly out like Grogu jumped over Ragnar today into the arms of his new dad, saying I get to live here forever, is the most life-changing emotional thing you can ever experience, because no 4-year-old should ever have to understand that you might not be there forever. Unfortunately, my children understand this, and it's awful. Grogu understands this. We saw him go through it today, and when Grogu popped out of that little Attack of the Clones cart thing. What are they called?
Pelly's
cart. Pelly's cart, and leapt into his daddy's arms. Like, I'm sorry. Din Djarin melted. He was that emoji with like the melted smiley face. That's what he was. And then the melt followed off, and then he was just a skull because he was dead. And so that Din Djarin, I agree with you, Chase, would not have said, it's complicated.
He would have been like, that's my boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I fell in love with him. How could you not? Yes. Look at the way he spit. That's what he would have done. You know what he would have done? You know what? You know what Din Djarin would have done? In a better written season 3 of the Book of the Mandalorian.
Brian, we don't use that word.
The Book of Boba Fett? I know.
I'm saying better written.
Oh. Well, I will.
Okay, great.
As a dad to Grogu. We've already established that I am Din Djarin in this episode. In this trio of people, I am definitely 100% Din Djarin. What Din Djarin would have done was, oh my God, it's complicated, I guess. But you know what he would have done? He would have, like, he didn't have the button before, but we all know Din Djarin is rich now. So he would have had a new button put on his little gauntlet, and he would just push buttons, and it would have been like little albums of Grogu doing cute things. And he would have sat there for 30 minutes showing Grogu. And this was the time he looked at me. Like, I said, no, Grogu. And I was mad at him. But then he looked at me and I was like, oh, that's so cute. This was the time that he was meditating, but this little beautiful butterfly like flew on his finger. And like, it was just the most adorable thing. And this was the time that like, we were transporting this mom and she had all of her babies with her and he kept eating. I was like, Grogu, you can't eat that. The mom is right there. But look at him. He was so cute. And even the mom didn't care because he was so cute. But then we got onto the HoloNet. And let me tell you, the people took that way too seriously. And the HoloNet was very mad about him eating eggs. And it was a little crazy. Not Brian saying two problematic things in one episode. Where are you at, Al? Anyways, that's what Din Djarin would have done. He would have shown his old pictures. Yeah.
And then taken one of him spinning on the chair.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I just updated. I have video now. I am iOS 17 and it has video now. So I'm going to like... Okay, what else have you got? What else have you got? Chase, you said you can go all day.
Me? Oh, okay.
Let's go, I didn't Steve know Rogers.
I thought, Em, did you have something to say? I saw you unmute for a minute.
No. I mean...
You don't have to.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay. Grogu, his cuteness is just undeniable, and you're so right about the fact that, like, Din needs to be more open about how much he loves him, because we could all identify with that.
Din Djarin, relatable king, loves Grogu.
You know what, if you need a side adventure, if we need a side quest episode of The Mandalorian, that's all it needs to be. You know, you could probably save a lot of money. Let's do it like right before a finale, so we can have a really big finale. All we need is Pelly Motto and Din Djarin getting kind of drunk talking about Grogu.
Oh, and they're like, God, I love that kid. Like, uh-huh. They're like,
you know what? Yes. Like, it'll be the longest episode of The Mandalorian. It'll be like 72 minutes.
I love that.
What I was going to say. I got the best treat while I was watching because I watched with subtitles on. And so it says in little parentheses when he's like running after the armor, it just says panting in like little...
I love this. I love that you could see his feet move, so it was just like very like Sesame Street.
Oh yeah.
We're just gonna move him up. Oh my God, he's so cute. It's great. Okay, Chase, give us something.
Well, I was gonna say that, well, I don't remember, I was gonna say something about Grogu, but oh, I would love like a baby's day out where Pelly like babysits Grogu. Like, if this is an animated series, you know we would get an episode where nothing really happens, but like Pelly and Grogu teach each other things because she's babysitting him. Oh, it'd be, oh girl, I want that. Maybe like a holiday special with the two of them. Honestly, holiday special. Din comes home in time for Christmas. What is going on, you guys?
No. I need to write oh my God.
That's you need a good idea.
You know, you need to write a dribble.
A drabble. Need to write a dribble. A drabble?
Dribble? Dribble, drabble?
Drabble.
Drabble, darn it.
Okay, this is, you know what? We need a drabble of Grogu writes Din Djarin a Father's Day card with Pelly Motto's help.
Oh, jeez. It's like little hand just printed on it.
Okay, we're gonna get more Michael stories because I'm Din Djarin. So this is what Din Djarin would do. This is all the show would be about. Let's be real. Yesterday, Michael was not great. Hello, Silver. Love you. You know, Michael was making some bad choices yesterday. He was letting his temper get in front of him. You know what, Grogu? You know that little man's got a temper, and you know it comes out every once in a while. The only time they should have let it continue was that one time on the ship when he was choking a certain someone. They probably could have let him go to the dark side a little longer. That would have been fine. But then Michael realized that he was being a little awful, right? So you know what he did? He went to a drawer and found pictures family pictures and got a little piece of paper and said to dad and wrapped up a family picture and gave it to us when you opened it up and said, I love you. Can we get episodes like that, please? Like that, imagine little 5-minute episodes, little shorts of just Din and Grogu in like a really cute little chibi style. Like it has to be like chibi style too.
That'd be cute. Very cute.
With lots of that like overdone now. So maybe it won't be overdone here, but the whole like Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel and turning red, like all the flashes of things in the background of Grogu because he can't really talk yet. So we just get flashes of what he's thinking.
Oh, cute.
I need it. Yep. Need it. Okay. Chase, give us some things to discuss.
Okay. Since we're talking about Grogu, like, how do we feel about him getting a piece of armor today? Because at first I was like, oh, so cute. This moment is so cute. I am being signaled that this is a cute moment and that this is not at all haunting and we should not be worried at all. I am being told through the score, through the shot, and through the acting that we should be emotionally moved by him getting a chest plate from a cult. And I'm like, how do we feel about that? Because I really, at first, okay. I was like, oh, this is so cute. He looks so cute right now. I love this. And then I like logged out and I was like, damn. I was like, I don't know if I do like that.
Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to having this conversation, but I was not moved enough in this episode to even go there. All I could think of was the client from season one and that Tom and I's nickname on Husband and Husband was Flava Flav because he had that big amulet thing. And I was like, oh my God, Grogu looks like Flava Flav with his gigantic clock on his chest. And then followed by when she's like, you'll grow into this. I'm like, to what? Thought. It's a circle. Like, I wasn't here for it.
Yeah.
Nope. Bad design.
Okay. That's not what I was talking about.
No, I know. But this is how unemotionally moved I was by the episode. I don't normally think about these things. Like when I'm in a story, like I don't watch the show with subtitles on for the first viewing. If I miss a name, if I miss something, I don't rewind. I'm in the moment, right? And I don't generally think about actors. And I get lost in it. This episode, I was not. Go ahead, Em. Sorry.
My thought was like, wow, he's really doing the Mandalorian thing. Like it felt like when he, like, I was like, wow, you know, he really chose to be a Mandalorian with Luke at the Praxium, and like this is really happening, it's really coming to fruition, that choice.
You know what, you're right. And I guess when I go back to that episode, and maybe we'll still get here. I was like, I don't think he's choosing to be a Mandalorian. I think he's choosing to be with Din.
I mean, yeah.
Also, and I guess that was one in the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one in the same. And I mean, look, I think we're all leading to the end of the season. Din takes the helmet off and leaves Children of the Watch, or redefines it as something else. Like, there is no way this show is all of a sudden going to do a 180 and Children of the Watch is a good thing.
I think they might. I'm just saying, I think they might. But again, I think that...
Please do not do that.
Okay. I love what Stitcher said. Stitcher had such a great point, like that the staging of the shot shows the iron pounding over Grogu like he's being crushed by the Mandalorian steel and that it wasn't meant to be seen as positive. I love that, and I hope to God you were right. Like, I love that take, and that is probably how I'll watch that moving forward, because like I can see that, and I hope that is like the intention, because if so, that's amazing. I totally just was lost on me. So that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, there was like, I think there's something to, it's like poetry, it rhymes. Thank you, Ben, from last week. But the last time we saw that was when Din was getting his little shoulder pad made, right? And we were getting flashbacks to his trauma from Order 66, or not Order 66, from the Clone Wars and the droids. And then we got it today, like father, like son, and Grogu was experiencing that. So this could be interesting. You know, thank you, Citrus. That thought is what pulled Din out of where he was at in season one. Wouldn't it be amazing if Grogu gets pulled out of where he's at and Grogu starts communicating with Din of like, we can do something other than this? Because maybe like Luke giving him a choice, like, I don't know. Like, I look, honestly, I know the story, the murmurs I've heard are that Din's going to turn when Grogu says he wants to have a helmet on. I want Grogu to save Din from them. I want Grogu to be the one that tells Din he can be somebody else.
Because his first words are, this is not the way.
Yeah.
This like, is a cult.
I don't know what that might be, but like, wouldn't it be amazing if like little Grogu gives him a choice like Luke did?
Brian, I love you. I just think you need to start
accepting what might
I don't know. Happening. I just think that tempering expectations has never been more important.
Yeah, possibly. Also with this Bowden thing, like I am not getting any chemistry from those two.
I mean, these are all things that I think are happening.
Please don't. I like know, Will. What if Grogu's first word is no when they put the helmet on? Yes.
Yeah, I was actually going to, it's really interesting, Brian, that you brought up the sort of callback to Din reliving his trauma at the same time, like sort of under the same circumstances under which Grogu relived his trauma. And I think that also ties back to the theme of when the armor is using the Forge as a metaphor to Bo for how Mandalorians, hone themselves, you know, and refine themselves and challenge and temper themselves, you know.
Yep.
Just the way metal is done. The way they do metal at the Forge. Yeah.
That's what the armorer was saying. But what I was hearing is, don't be true to yourself. Just cover it up. Don't let your feelings out there. Just cover it up.
No,
put the armor on. Don't let people see you. That's what I heard.
I get what you're saying, and I agree on a personal level. But I think the textual evidence is that leans towards romanticizing and I don't think romanticizing is the right word. I want to take that back. And legitimizing. I think it's legitimizing extreme, or not even extreme, but even though, again, Death Watch has been positioned to be an extremist group, like on the fritz, like just kind of like on the margins, just extreme. And I just think that there's a lot of legitimizing of it. And I think that the music and the dialogue, and like every time we see the armorer make something like this, it is a deeply spiritual and amazing thing. And I love that. That's one of the things I love about it. But to see it with Grogu hit different, and I don't think it was supposed to.
Yeah, because he's a child.
Yes, but I think we're going there. I think the vibe is, this is a beautiful thing. And if someone, because listen, in a lot of ways, it is beautiful. People find meaning in religion and with religious groups. Like, that's a great thing. And the things that religion can provide to people is an amazing thing. And so I just don't like this idea that like, I don't like this because I have an aversion to religion. That is not true. It's just the way that this particular religion. Death Watch has been positioned. And I think that it's a little bit scary to see that they might not be they might be walking back from how dangerous a religious extremist cult-like group is.
Yeah, I wonder if they're trying to rehabilitate Death Watch the way they rehabilitated.
I think they are, and it makes me feel
the,
bad.
The Tusken Raiders in Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, wait, can you elaborate on that?
Well, like, I'm just wondering if they're trying to take a group that was previously maligned and seen as villainous and put us inside of a story that rehabilitates that understanding of them and has us see them in a much more benign perspective and have us want to be on their side and kind of like emotionally ally us with them in the story.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
Possibly.
Which I think would read well if there was more time. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I actually do like that conceptually, because I do feel like there's something, I love that you said that, Em, because it feels integral to Star Wars to sort of like, not play all sides, but sort of redefine things in the mythology. And so I do like that. And if that is what they're doing, bravo to them. I think it'll age well. I don't know if it's done. If I don't know if it's being handled, if that is what they're doing, I don't know if it's being handled with the utmost grace. But I hope, I think that's absolutely. I think that's best case scenario. And but I love that scenario.
You know what I think? This is what this is. I think I could feel your concern, Chase. If I hear you saying that, and at the same time, I'm hearing that YouTube clip of Dave Filoni going off on the fanboys that love Darth Vader and are like, he's the villain. We're not supposed to like him. And what I'm wondering if is happening is, I thought it was a pretty power move today. One, I mean, I'm telling you, I think the armor was totally talking down to Bo-Katan. They do not like each other. I think the armor trying to say like, hey, you can keep it on, I think is her way of controlling her. We know Bo-Katan doesn't like, or we know the armor doesn't like Bo-Katan because she said that so much in the Book of Boba Fett. I think the armor is interested in taking the power from the Kreese family. I think there's some sort of thing in that of I'm going to control you. And I think her trying to tell Bo-Katan that, you know, you get like, you get it, you put on this helmet, you're going to feel all sorts of really great things. And it's going to seem so real to you, but you didn't really see that, even though she probably knows she really did see it. But I think she's trying to like pull something over and use like weird cult voodoo on her. What I think is going to happen, because I still think we are going to get bad Bo-Katan by the time this season is done. I hope so. I hope so. Because like this version of Bo, not my favorite. I don't know if I like her journey right now. I'm cool with this for like a minute, but if this is going to be her whole arc this season, I'm already bored. Like, mm-mm. Like what I think Bo-Katan is doing is, I think she's positioning herself, putting the Mythosaur shoulder pad on her other arm. I think she is going to tell everyone in that Children of the Watch that the armor is wrong. She was once a part of Death Watch. And I think if anything, she's going to try to turn Children of the Watch back into Death Watch and get real pissed off at the New Republic and this whole... Because I think we'll probably hear about this new empire rising up. I don't know if we'll hear it called the First Order, but I think at some point we're going to hear that's coming. And what I'm curious is Din and Bo going to have an understanding? They're not walking the same path together anymore, but they also might not get in each other's way. Because I do think Star Wars likes to play both sides. I do think Star Wars likes to say, no, these are definitely the bad guys, but there are people on that bad side that think they're a hero. And maybe some of their logic isn't totally wrong. They just got misled down the way, if that makes sense. I think that was very much a vibe from the prequels and Clone Wars. And especially having my 9-year-old son, who's like completely obsessed with Clone Wars right now, I feel him like dealing with those questions. Like, this kid is so obsessed with the clones right now, and he is so obsessed right now. Padme and Anakin are his favorite characters, and he's really intrigued at their two different viewpoints. He's like, I'm just watching, listening to him. He's like, well, they love each other, but they also don't agree. And I think he's really fascinated by that. And I'm like, there's the power of George Lucas right there. All that crap that we thought he didn't know what he was doing. Well, seems to be working. Because now here he is. And I think that's what George Lucas, I think that is like the essence of Star Wars. As much as Star Wars is fate, religion, politics, trying to determine what your destiny is going to be, at the end of the day, we all have our own choices to make. And I really think that's the thesis of Star Wars, is to stand up for what you believe in, no matter what, who or what gets in your way or tries to tell you the other way. Be aware of both sides, understand that contradictions can exist, but you have to choose your own thing. And that's also why I don't think Din Djarin is going to go down that thing. I don't think we're going to recontextualize Children of the Watch to be a good thing. I think at some point Din's going to have to say, this is not my choice. He's going to have to pull his Regina George, I choose my choice, or whatever. Who said that? I choose my choice. Isn't that for Mean Girls?
No, I choose my choice. So.
It's from something. I choose my choice. Probably been saying that for 20 years thinking it came from Mean Girls, and it's really something.
Yeah,
else.
Definitely.
I choose
not
my choice.
Can confirm. Okay.
You know, okay. Well, that would be very Brian. I'm Brian for Brian saying something that he thought was from, again, Din Djarin. Din Djarin would probably be like, I am one of the Force, and the Force is with me, thinking that's what the Jedi said. That would be his style. Anyways, all right. Are we good? Let's have some final predict. Let's have, before we go out, what do we think is going to happen next week? Are we going to Coruscant next week? Because we know Din's going to talk to Teeva. Isn't that what we called him, Teeva? Wasn't that, what's his name? Teeva's, right? And is when is Dave Filoni's episode coming? Is that next week? Dave Filoni has an episode coming that he's writing and directing. It'll probably be the Ahsoka with the Ghost Crew in it. I just I know they were talking a little bit about that on Star Wars Explained today. Like, I have full belief that the Ghost Crew is going to come into Mandalorian at some point. So know who they are before the show starts. And I just hope it's done well. What do we think? Emma, what's going to happen next week? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I do think that, well, we are going to have to sort of revisit what Elia was up to, I think. Like, there's sort of a trailing thread there. It would be interesting to see how it ties into the greater story. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind going back to Coruscant next week. Finding out what's going on with that.
Chase, how about you?
I don't have an answer. I think my answer would be this show has not indicated to me where I'm supposed to be looking and what I'm supposed, like, I cannot make any guess, educated or uneducated, as to where they're going. But that's probably a good place to be.
My God, Johnny.
Oh my God. It is from Sex and the City.
I am so, yes. You know what? Okay, Johnny, I also look, I am married to my husband now because I told him I live my life based on the three S's. One of those S's doesn't really track anymore. And Star Wars, Sex and the City. And you're right. Thank you, Charlotte York. Just so everyone knows, I'm married to Charlotte York. That is Tom Berry. Oh, if Tom absolutely. Berry had to be a Sex and the City character, Charlotte York. And I absolutely. Think that is why I love him. Yep.
I love that.
Yep. Prim and proper on the outside, and I kind of, but you know what, that really turns me on. Some people don't like that, but as someone who might be too outspoken and too comfortable with themselves in any situation where maybe I should learn to hold a little restraint, I kind of respect someone who can.
Oh, that's also a well known queer fetish, you know. Like, that's why there's all those poems that start off with, like, Mormon elders.
Hell yes. Okay, look, because I'm also a whore, and proudly so, I've been with many a people. And let me tell you, the ones who wear it on the outside 99% of the time are a snooze fest. They put it all out there and then leave you nothing. Go for the straight-laced, prim propers. Go for the Din Djarins. Go for the ones who got a lot of stuff to work out. Go over there. And you just present them a pair of red heels and say, walk on me, please. Oh, and they will, and it's going to be great. That'll be okay, anyways, okay. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you for bringing me there. Yep, appreciate it. You know what, Chase? I think that's a bit of a problem because I'm with you. I know we're going back to Coruscant only because it's in a trailer. I have no idea where the show's going and it's halfway through. And I think that is what I left today going, I feel like this is a problem. It is only 8 episodes. We just saw episode 4 and I don't know where the show is going. I feel like we are meandering, and that is a problem.
And like some people do feel like they know where it's going, which I love that. You know, I've seen some people say that, like, if you don't know where it's going, then you don't know how to watch television, which is cuckoo bananas crackers. Like, I don't understand that. So, yeah, some people think they know where it's going. Some people don't know where it's going. And either way is a slay because no one really knows. So we'll find out next week.
You know what? Not sure if the writer's room knew where they were going yet either. They're like, well, figure it out by the end.
We'll see.
You know what? Even if this whole season isn't going to be great, you know what I'm still going to be?
Proud
of a massive Mandalorian fan. Oh, and I'm same. Still going to be really looking forward to next season. Even if this season doesn't slap for me, seasons one and two were so damn good. I love Din and Grogu so much that I will still believe that the show is great and we're going to get somewhere back and they can make up for lost ground. Yes, very much so. So everyone, thank you for listening. This is not exactly how we normally talk on this show, but you know what? As Em has said so many times, and it has very much freed me, we try to be authentic and honest, and that is the most important thing. So anytime anyone says that we're a positive podcast, I appreciate the thought there, but I would like to think that we're honest. And I don't want to also feel like, to Chase's point and to Crystal's point, I don't want to feel like I have to like it and come on here and fake it. And I also want to be able to say I didn't like it this week, but you know what? If next week's episode comes out and it makes this week's episode seem really great, then I want to also be able to say, oh my God, I got it. And last week's episode 100%. Was great. Honestly, that's what I'd really like. I don't want to not like it. I'd much rather enjoy it and go, oh my God, it all makes sense now.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So let's normalize, as Chase has said a few times in the past few streams, let's normalize being able to change. Let's normalize being able to talk something out and being able to come on to a podcast that loves Star Wars and say, this one didn't work for me. It's going to be great. Fantastic. And also, if it didn't work for us, you can stay and listen to us talk, right? And you can go into that chat room and pull a Citrus and say, I strongly disagree. And then go, oh, that's a great point. And now I'm rambling. So Chase, where can people find you?
You can find me on YouTube. I'm That Gay Jedi, also the Fear Queers podcast, and on all socials at AKA That Gay Jedi.
Emma.
You can find me on Twitter at Hutslea, HUTTSLEIA. Ship who you want. All ships are valid. Especially me and the voice of Paz Vizsla.
The disembodied voice.
The voice of Pazim. That's exactly the ship name.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't work, does it?
It does. It works enough. This has been great. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Emsa. Emsla. Okay, you can follow me and the show at Serving Pink Milk. If you are interested, if you liked what you heard here, if you're new here, we have a Patreon down below. If you missed part of the conversation, you want to hear the whole thing, join our Patreon for $5 a month. And you can hear this, because once this conversation's gone, it only lives on Patreon. Or you can wait a few days and get the best clips. So it'll be interesting to see what we post on YouTube after this conversation. But until next week, everyone, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Alex and Molly, thank you so much for sending people over yet again. We love you. We appreciate you. Hopefully you don't get a lot of hate for our views. And they're like, why did you send us over there? Anyways, I hope not. Let's not go there. Let's have a final drink up. Also, I think I'm a little tipsy.
Okay, please. I figured that out 20 minutes ago. Let's drink up.
Drink up. Bye 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 b